Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, brought to you by Omaha, Omaha Audio. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Mikey Meatballs, Eddie Spaghetti, Fiddling with the Knobs, Babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. Dave, Martin. Big, big week. We got Oscars, the Robertson kind on the hardwood, and the shiny award type later in the week. This Sunday, 95th Annual Academy Awards, and the host of that particular award show, Jimmy Kimmel, is on this very podcast today. I don't know how it happened. That babyface Sol Jolomon does our booking, and he was able to make it happen, Sheck. Very
exciting.
I don't
know who Sol Jolomon is, but kudos to him. He's done it. He's done it once again. Humble brag, name drop. I don't care how it happened. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Sol Jolomon, but I mistakenly called him Sol a few weeks ago, and I think it needs to stick. What do you think, Martin?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially when you see him in person, it really truly fits him almost better than Baby.
Yeah, Sol, you're right.
Sol, he does. Yeah. Jolomon. Like, yeah, he's the guy who's been knocking around the synagogue. He's one of those guys who's like, he's there. He doesn't just go for the high holidays. He's one of those regulars at the synagogue. Sol. Yeah. You know, Sol, old Solly. Yeah. He's always there. Yeah. That fits.
Sol Jolomon. Yeah. Knocking around the synagogue. I like that for a name of a band, but yeah. Hey, our prop
big
culture
big
quiz.
On the bar mitzvah circuit. Yeah.
ExtraPoints.com/arcade. Go play our Oscar pool. You know, they have the regular questions: Best Picture, Best Director. Will the winner of Best Actress Award cry on stage? Sheck, you didn't ask Bald Brian that yesterday on -3, but these are the things people need to know. Will that happen? If you score the highest out of anybody, the 100th participating, you will win a gold cap and an autographed baseball. I got Jimmy Kimmel, the Oscar host, to sign this. I don't know if you could see this ball. There it is. And he says, he's like, I sign it like Steve Garvey did Oscars all the years, 17, 18, and 23. Like, Garvey, I guess, would put that for his MVP years or something. I don't know what the hell. But anyway, there's a sign ball.
You've had conversations with this Jim Kimmel character.
Yes.
Do you suppose that deep down, knowing him as you do, he's a mixer by nature, as are you. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he would like deep down to get slapped by somebody? Not as a bit. I mean, just like somebody doesn't like something and they take it out on Jim Kimmel with a slap across the face. Do you think he deep down that would be cool or good for him?
I think it would depend on the slapper, because I think whereas, and you're referring, what are you referring to? Like the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing?
No. Or is no. This just oh, a, yeah, yeah. That, okay. Yeah. That.
Well, I mean, as crazy as that was, I always feel like Chris Rock got about 70% of the support after that. Whereas if Will Smith slapped Jimmy, I think Jimmy would get zero support. So if it really kind of depends on who slaps him. If it's Dame Judi Dench, I'm like, oh, I think he would love that. Right. That would be kind of funny. But
ooh, maybe he could do a list of the five attendees, presumed attendees, who he would most want to be slapped by.
That's a good. That's a good question. Let's ask him who we would like to be slapped by. Yeah. I also want to ask him just about, like, you know, like there's some wacky events have taken place at these Oscars. This is supposed to be like a real glamour show. Right. Like and we have like the wrong awards given out. We have the slap as mentioned. Like he's got to be prepared. It's nice to write the monologue and write all these bits and everything. You got to be prepared for the unusual. Right, Martin? This has become like a tune in event, I think.
I mean, between everything at the Oscars and then the only other award show I've watched recently, Jared Carmichael at the Golden Globes. If he's not going viral, he's not doing anything at all. Like, you know, I mean, right. I know Jimmy Kimmel knows what he's doing behind the camera. I mean, in front of a camera, but you know, he needs to be prepared for America to be talking about him on Monday.
It's very strange. I do have a list of events that if they were to come up, I want to know how he would react. But yes, so I don't know. Yeah, I think ratings wise, Sheck, the answer is yes. We need something to shake this. I think they added like 8 categories, so it's going to be as long as it's ever been. So I know they took him out a few years ago and then they added him back in. But anyway, Jimmy Kimmel is going to be on with us in a few minutes. Jonathan Azaro, he won't be on with us, but he did win our prop quiz last week. Good job by him. 7 right out of 10. He gets a gold cap. Now let's talk NFL. I know there's so much basketball and everything else going on, but really there's no shortage of news, Sheck. I really thought like, oh boy, football's never over, but right. But Monday comes like, oh boy, wow. I try to put this outline together and there's 17 things to go over. Let's hit football first.
Let me just say, Sal, just so you know, going forward, as Extra Points rises and rises over the years and decades going forward, keep in mind, it's been boiled down to like, there's like 4 days somewhere in late July that have no news in sports. Otherwise, you should assume it's like 361, maybe not 365, but 361. There's always something going on in sports. That's why it's so much fun. What do people who don't have sports do with their time? That's the real question. And those are the people to pity.
And that's Babyface Sol Jolomon is that person right there. Maybe we ask him. Babyface, what do? I mean, you just sell T-shirts, right?
Well, that June and July big on the bar mitzvah circuit. I'm really just going around to the schools.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of Orthodox Jew, Derek Carr is now a New Orleans Saint. I think this was, I don't want to say it was predicted, but it was sort of baked into the line. We went over this a couple of weeks ago, and the Saints were the NFC South favorite. Now, none of these teams had a quarterback, right? Like with a starting quarterback. He now has to go up against Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, and who am I missing? I mean, I know this will change. Trask, right? Kyle Trask? Those are the other NFC South quarterbacks. The Saints are a plus 140 favorite, Martin. Panthers plus 240. I know Sheck likes them. Just he's gonna bet blind on the Panthers plus 240, Atlanta plus 425, Tampa plus 450. But this is a nice, relaxing spot for Derek Carr, who had to compete with Patrick Mahomes for several years in one of the toughest, if not the toughest, division.
I mean, sure. It's a great, relaxing spot for Derek Carr. I'm less concerned about how Derek Carr feels at the moment and more concerned about how Martin Weiss feels at the moment.
You're upset about this?
I'm not happy about it, not one damn bit.
Why? What did you think was going to happen? What would be a better option for you next season at minimum? I just don't worry about the long term. Next season, what was a better option for the New Orleans Saints than Derek Carr? That's pretty good. Especially for
next season, I'd rather have the guy who won 2 of the last 3 MVPs, Aaron Rodgers, or a guy who was a unanimous MVP and Lamar Jackson, both of whom seem to be eminently available. I don't know.
Those weren't going to happen, though. Those weren't going to happen.
You know what? Then I'd rather have none of them. If I go to the party, this is like leaving a party at 11:45 with the first one that talks to you. You just stay the whole time. And if nobody's ready to go at 1:45, you know what you do? You go home and you try again next weekend. No. He got cut or got benched rather because they didn't want to guarantee $40 million to him. So he just got an extra 70 damn near guaranteed by the Saints, by the team that drafted him and had him for 12 years, didn't want our 10 years, however long, didn't want to pay him $40 million. So, you know what? Come on down to New Orleans. It'll be a charity case. And no one was trading for that contract. So like, who were they bidding against?
I want to know, first of all, has this happened, this 11:45 thing where someone has talked to you and brought you home because you were the first person that approached them? Or are you on the other side of this equation? I'm not sure.
No, I've ran all sides of the gamut, so.
Well, I thought for the most part, Saints fans would be happy for this. I mean, you're the favorite to win the South. Like, first of all, great move for Derek Carr, right? Check, like we said, it goes from the AFC West to the NFC South. And people are like, I would have liked to have seen him go to the Jets. Like, yeah, then you have to deal with those vultures in the media over there. So this is as good a landing spot, I think, as possible for him.
Yeah, I think it's dynamite, as a matter of fact. I thought Carolina, that was my prediction. It's funny, we're in a weird place. I predicted whatever it was 6 weeks ago where all the big name QBs were going to land. I missed on Derek Carr. The division is right. Well, the division I was right about, and as you say, Sal, I think the takeaway right now is that the Saints are the prohibitive favorite. I'm surprised. I think you need to jump on them right now. If you... unless you can conjure a path that gets Aaron Rodgers to Carolina, I think Jimmy G maybe lands in Tampa. I think that's a reasonable spot for him. But I still think Derek Carr and the Saints are a pretty big favorite to my eye, to win that division next year. And it's pretty juicy to bet on them to do it. Don't you jump on that right now? Or am I being overly optimistic, Sal? I don't
know. Caesars is plus 140 on Caesars. I thought you were going to go Panthers. I thought you were going to bet blind, not see your cards. I don't like to do that. I thought that's what you're going to do. Like, all right, maybe they get lucky in the draft or they get Aaron Rodgers or something like that. And I can't do that. I have to see a menu before I walk into a joint.
I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to bet on the other three teams, honestly.
Well, which one?
All three of them.
I do have my doubts about Dennis Allen. We have yet to see him do anything as a head coach that warrants us picking them. So maybe we do need to slow our roll a little bit.
I did this last year, Sal. I was like, the Saints should win the division. They just have questions at the two biggest spots, head coach and quarterback. No,
right.
They should. But you know what? They got a guy with the total of me and him at the same amount of playoff wins at quarterback, and me, him, and his head coach had the same amount of regular season wins combined. Everybody's talking about this reunion like it went so well. You know, it's like it would be like talking about if the Kardashian and Chris Humphries got back together since the first time they got along.
I still
along,
think it's going to happen.
It worked so great.
Well, let me ask you this. Which coach would you rather have in that division? Certainly not a quarterback at this point, but Frank Reich, I guess, maybe if you had I don't know. That's pretty slim pickings too, I think, the coaching in the NFC South.
Oh, I see. That's why I was sure it was going to be Carolina because of Frank Reich. We knew a year ago that Reich and Ballard were interested in Derek Carr. So it stood the reason that would be appealing to Derek and to Frank Reich to make that happen. It's always about the relationships, though. These things almost never happen just blindly. Dennis Allen, Derek Carr together with the Raiders, and that's why the relationship now brings him down there. Yeah, I'm at, what I'm surprised that I guess it's March and we're talking about the NFC South. I don't know how excited we can get in any direction here, but that said, I am surprised by a Saints fan being kind of like, meh, I don't know. This seems like it puts you way ahead of the game, but with the rest of the division.
Yeah. Well, Martin, the one thing maybe in your defense is Derek Carr had better pieces around him last year. And
he had the league leading in rushing. He had Devontae Adams, who was fresh off getting Aaron Rodgers back-to-back Super Bowls. And they couldn't, everybody's talking about how they blow 17-point leads in the second half. But go look at the final scores of that game, those games. It's not like the Raiders were losing 42-41. Like, if you're putting up 24 points in the NFL consistently, you need to hit that 30 mark and you're probably going to lose. You probably need to hit that 30 mark, especially if you got the league leader in rushing and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And you know what? Per usual, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I do think the Falcons are going to get Lamar Jackson and then they will be the prohibitive favorite to win the division.
How is the first domino to fall Derek Carr? Like, you got the consolation prize first before everybody else got first and second place.
Well, Shaq, if you actually think Atlanta's going to get Lamar Jackson and plus 425 is the way to go, but they'll have to, it seems like they're going to have to override that that franchise tag that the Ravens are, I don't know, almost certainly going to put on him at this point, right?
Oh, God forbid, two first-round picks. Trade a first-round pick for C.J. Gardner-Johnson last year.
We as a sports society, for real, need to get over our obsession with draft picks versus actual people who've already done stuff good in the sport that they're playing. I mean, of course, yes. If you think Lamar Jackson, and by the way, the Falcons are held to a different standard than teams that are, you know, perennial contenders to make a run at the Super Bowl. The Falcons are in a different spot. They need something good to happen down there. That it's embarrassing every Sunday when they cut away into one of the best stadiums in the NFL, and it's got like 37 people in the stands. If you put Lamar Jackson there, it's a PR win no matter what. And by the way, it would equal 10 wins in that bum division. Of course, a giveaway, whatever the Ravens want, Falcons. It'll make you relevant at least for one season, maybe more.
All right. Now, listen to this. Geno Smith. I mean, if we announced this last year at this time, we would have thought, oh, I'll never listen to this podcast again. These guys are full of crap. Geno Smith signs a 3-year deal worth upwards of $100 million with the Seahawks. Goes in there, gets the job done. And it makes me think, like, I don't know that. If the answer is no, then fine. But I'm going to ask you guys, is there a potential Geno Smith, a journeyman starting for a bad team, really bad team, predicted going into the season out there in 2023? So here's the criteria. He's the starting quarterback of a team. I think Seattle is like a bottom three team in terms of overall under win projections last year. So is there a guy out there that could be the Geno Smith for 2023, Martin?
I mean, Geno Smith thrown for 30 touchdowns last year. Derek Carr did that once in his career. I think if it's anybody, it'll be Jimmy Garoppolo. If for no other reason that the guys who, if you go get Jimmy G, you got to know, you got to have a solid run game. And like, I mean, you've seen the blueprint for his success. So I could see it happening again. But like,
I don't think he qualifies though, Jimmy G. I know. I think he's too good, Jimmy G. If we talked about it today, him getting a 3-year, $100 million contract, we'd be like, all right, okay. So he had a good year and he led a team there. Is there anyone comparable to, I might say like Marcus Mariota, who's not even on a team now, but if he ends up with one of the bottom three teams and takes them to the playoffs, I think someone like that, Sheck. But otherwise, I have no idea who else could match this.
You got real close when you said Mariota, the guy who went one pick ahead of him, Jameis Winston, Sal. That's the answer. Jameis Winston. We still have in the NFL, where everything it feels like outside of what the hell Aaron Rodgers was doing in that dark place, even that we've gotten some too many details on what happened there. Somehow the mystery of what the Saints were doing or weren't doing with Jameis Winston has yet to be uncovered. I still think that that guy is a pedigree snob. I still think that guy has a chance of making it. I think the Geno story, though, is to be celebrated. We obsess over the timeline. If you draft a rookie in the first round, he better play in his rookie season or it feels borderline like a failure. But Jim Plunkett to Alex Smith, and now we have Geno Smith, right? That's the three quarters of the Mount Rushmore of QBs who were supposed to be good, who weren't good for at least the first like 7 or 10 years of their career. And now they finally arrived. I think Jameis Winston might be the next guy.
But even he was too good, I think.
And then New Orleans go ahead and signed Andy Dalton Jr. and Derek Carr.
That's a bad comp. Derek Carr is a much bigger arm than Andy Dalton, at least.
First of all, I don't think we know what I think Jameis would have made some noise if he was held back against his will. I just don't think he was ready to go. Right. We would have heard more about it. It is a mystery that it was an underreported story why he was not able to go week after week with the Saints putting out a subpar or average quarterback.
He did make remarks like, I'm not sure of it. Something like, yeah, it really broke my heart that I didn't get a shot. Something to that effect.
Yeah. But even he is too good, Shaq. Like he was some years up for MVP discussion, right? Like this Geno Smith, I think, is an anomaly.
It would have to be one of the Jets quarterbacks that replaced him, Zach Wilson. Like it would have to be Zach Wilson, like Mitchell Trubisky.
I was just going to say Mitch Trubisky might be a good answer for
Trubisky, maybe. Everyone's given up on somebody that everyone's given up on.
Not Carson Wentz. It's not going to be Carson Wentz, I don't think.
No, because he has some, even he was up for MVP at some point. You know what I mean? Like, but who do you think, babyface?
Oh, I mean, besides Mason Rudolph, I would love for Baker Mayfield to get a chance somewhere. I just don't think it fits.
That's a good one.
But I would love it if he finally found the right offense. I just don't know if he can do it for a full season, a few games maybe.
But is it
by the way,
answer?
Mason Rudolph is kind of a similar comp, I think, in this. But, you know, I don't know if there's a spot for him. But
don't you think that it's the cheat code to this is Kyle Shanahan? After you see what he did with Brock Purdy, you know, is there any QB who you would cite that wouldn't have a shot at being good in that offense after we've seen? I said a few weeks ago, Ryan Tannehill, if they purge him, which I don't know if they're going to be able to because of the contract down in Tennessee, but if they did, if you put him into that offense, wouldn't that be obviously a big upgrade from Brock Purdy? Wouldn't you expect as a Niners fan for the team to be even better this year than it was last year if you put Ryan Tannehill in there over Brock Purdy? I say
it's
yes.
It's tough to say upgrade.
Baker Mayfield? Yeah. Why would that not work if you put him into Kyle Shanahan's offense?
Well, I think all these work. I'm not sure if they're upgrades from Brock Purdy. He had pretty good numbers, you know, going forward. Maybe you trust these guys a little more because they have some years behind them. Spaghetti, what do you have? You have an offering here?
I was just putting in some names in the chat of guys who I could see make sense from a standpoint of maybe getting the opportunity and playing well, like your Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, Teddy B, yes. Minshew, Cooper Rush. Yeah. Like those are guys that have the ability to actually get a contract if they play well.
And you would never think they would get it. Like right now, if you said give any of those guys 3 years, $100 million, you say you're crazy. You're flushing money away. But yeah, that those are the type of guys that Geno Smith just went in there. It's really remarkable what he did. Also remarkable. Anthony Richardson, best vertical ever. He really impressed everybody at the combine. It's a shame he's not, they're showing all the wrong highlights. What is he? He's like a 54% completion, right, with Florida. But boy, they love him and he's moved up and he could be a top seven pick, Shaq, or maybe even, who knows? Everybody loves this guy. He could be top three or four. Could be the second quarterback off the board, right?
It doesn't make sense. I understand why you push back and you're a cynic to the full QB saturation theory or reality. As I say, there are more than 32 human beings capable of playing halfway decently in the NFL at quarterback.
Geno Smith's getting $100 million. I guess you're right.
Well, yeah. Listen, the problem is that some of them are on the same team and some of them, the contracts don't work. But the fact remains that there are at least 32 human beings who are capable of being better than what existed in the NFL at QB a decade ago and certainly well past that. But the jive that, once again, people bought for the preceding 6 months was like, I don't know if any of these quarterbacks, I don't know if any of these guys are really worthy of a top 10 pick or maybe Bryce Young and all of that kind of stuff. Spoiler alert, almost every year. Last year was the anomaly when Kenny Pickett was the only guy to go in the first round and then a bunch of apparent bums behind him. But back to form. There are going to be four quarterbacks at least going all in the right. First round, probably in the top 10 even, and Anthony Richardson. People are going to roll the dice because of Josh Allen, and then before that, Cam Newton, although I hate the Anthony Richardson-Cam Newton comp, given the success that Cam had at Auburn, SEC school, versus Anthony Richardson and lack of success at SEC right. school, Florida. So I'm resentful of that as a Cam truther. But Anthony Richardson's going to be a pick and people are going to, I think what he's an interesting play for is one of those teams who's willing to do what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. Can you reasonably say we're going to sit this guy for at least half of his rookie season and have a halfway decent option? And as it happens, Baker Mayfield and Ryan Tannehill and guys like that are right there to fill the bill for the first half of the season. But yeah, he's great. He
could end up on a team like the Panthers or someone like that where he probably would have to play before a halfway point in the season. But Mark, what do we think of best vertical anyway as a metric for these guys? Because I mentioned on Against All Odds, ironically, the guys who jump, the high jumpers are the ones you only want to see that in a touchdown celebration, right? Which is ironic because you're going to go to one of these crappy teams if you're an Anthony Richardson, and you're not going to be able to utilize that in celebratory fashion, I don't think. Because otherwise, I don't know, how many defenders are you leapfrogging in a game? Is it a metric that should go away?
If it's more than two in a play, you're probably in bad shape when you're coming down, if you're trying to hurt more than two in a play. I think you want to see it in, like, my first thought, you said touchdown celebrations, but also on the outside too, because Justin Jefferson, I don't know what his vertical is, but it's got to be pretty impressive for him to be able to get up and make that catch against Buffalo.
Just for a quarterback, I'm thinking.
I probably want my quarterback to sit still, at least unless he's celebrating a touchdown or it's the playoffs and he's got to jump over a guy. But
yeah, I would think squatting down would be more practical. Like, who could avoid a rush by squatting down as much as they can without actually having a knee or an elbow or their ass touch the ground? But
We should take Anthony Richardson, though.
Yeah.
The Saints.
Well, that would have been lovely. I would have much rather that. But the Detroit Lions at six. You got a quarterback right now in Jared Goff.
Perfect.
Like, you want to sit your starting quarterback for 8 weeks? That's the perfect place to do it.
Not bad.
Or the Seahawks, right? The the combine, which it should be called, you know, annual reminder, it's the combine. Mm-hmm. It is a combine is a gathering of people for one purpose. A combine is farming equipment that separates the wheat from the chaff. So, okay, right. One. Two, it is the perennial humble brag for sports media members to go to the it has no, it has very little value. Ask scouts, ask personnel people. They will tell you, like, yeah, we're going off of the college tape. They just, it's like an extra layer of validation. Like, I guess you could get knocked off a guy if he's way slower. I think Jordan Addison is, for instance, coming out of SC, the Pitt transfer. I think he may be dinged his value by not by running a 4.5-ish as a wide receiver.
Yeah, in the 20s now, they're saying.
You can hurt yourself. I mean, do people real? Like, Anthony Richardson now is going to get drafted, but he wasn't going to get drafted in the same slot before the combine. Come on. To your point
about actually going to the event, yes, fewer and fewer coaches are going to the event. They've all... a lot of the reasoning is that this is time better spent with my staff, especially if it's a new staff, getting to know them than going out and drinking with these old college buddies.
Ogled by those aforementioned sports media members in the same bar and throwing on a good drunk. Because I've watched a lot of some high profile guys throw on real good drunks in the bar at the combine. And that's what it
give
is.
Us a couple.
Bill give Belichick. Us a couple. Bill Belichick.
Whoa.
Budweiser long necks. He and his son. Mm-hmm. You know who else? Well, I don't even want to say. It's one of your friends who was there sitting at the table with them for like 3 hours.
One of my friends.
Tony Romo.
Rachel Bonetta. Sure. Rachel Bonetta. No. Who?
It wasn't Bonetta. It was Mike Lombardi.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Lombardi likes to have fun. I would like to see Lombardi. I would like to see Belichick have their vertical tested after putting on a drunk. That's what anybody should see, right? Put that on the TV. But to real quick to Martin's point about Justin Jefferson making, you know, these catches going 6-7 feet in the air and making a catch. I'd rather see, and I saw more one-handed catches at this combine than ever before, to a point where I thought it might have been a separate event that I missed. I'm like, oh, it was one-handed catch. And by the way, I wouldn't mind it because I think it has more value than a quarterback testing his vertical. Martin, did you notice that with one-handed catches? I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Hey, I saw this mountain of a man, Darnell Washington, making one-handed catches, but I was thinking, dang, I hope these aren't quarterbacks. Like, who are these guys throwing? Because that's why Anthony Richardson missed an out route or two. So the one-handed catch may not be the best reflection of what's going on, depending on who the quarterback is. But Darnell Washington, if I had to guess somebody outside of Anthony Richardson who is impressing with his man size everywhere and ability, it'd be him. And he's moving it's just like he's flicking it, where it seems like other people, it's just such a struggle.
All right. Meanwhile, what do we have? Like, it's like still 55 days before this draft. We talk about, I guess this is where the way it is. You just have the combine and then the draft is not.
Did you feel sad? But. You said, Marty said the guys who were throwing it, he doesn't know who was throwing it. Was Carson Strong, the guy who a year ago was some people were floating as a first round pick in some circles, and Kurt Benkert, the backup from the Packers and a bunch of other places. Do you feel bad for those guys that's what they're doing? They're scrimmage filling guys.
No, I don't think anybody would have even known it was them unless you said it just now. Huh? Now I feel bad.
Now
I don't know.
I did feel a vague tinge of pity for those guys. That's what they're doing with themselves now. But
all right, listen, let's do, because we have Jimmy Kimmel coming up in just a few minutes. We can't go over NCAA in the few minutes time. We can't go over our NBA stuff. I guess let's do our play of the day.
Oh,
this is I'm like a jigsaw puzzle. I'm putting it together. Yesterday, I pushed with BYU +7 against St. Mary's in the semifinals there. And Martin, you know, when you're catching 7 points and you're down three with 30 seconds left, how do you feel about your bet when you're getting 7 down three with 30 seconds left? Because at that point, for me, all I'm hoping for is a push, even though it would seem the odds are in my favor. I got 4 points to play with, right? I'm thinking psychologically, I'm at the point where I'm like, oh boy, I hope I don't lose by 9 or 10.
Yeah, I'm in the fetal position on my couch. Just please, please don't let. Yeah. I don't feel good. I'm not one of those people who feel good about anything until it's over.
Yeah, it's not even a bad beat anymore when you have a 4-point margin that's squandered in 30 seconds, especially in that scenario I just laid out. But anyway, St. Mary's did win that game by 7. I pushed. They play Gonzaga now in the championship of that WCC. Zags have won 22 of 23 regular season conference titles, 18 of the last 23 WCC tournaments. Drew Timmy says there's a respected hatred between these two squads. I like that. And a lot of people think it's time for little brother St. Mary's to step up. They already beat them this year. I think they split. I'm going Gonzaga minus 2.5, despite the fact that they're terrible against the spread neutral site games. It's going to be a shootout. They push the pace. They average 88 points. They're going to win 92-84 and enter Sheck. They're going to enter the tournament as an undervalued and underappreciated 2 seed. I think Texas or Baylor drops from that 2 line. With an early exit in the Big 12 tournament. Give me the Zags minus 2.5 tonight. Check, what do you got?
I like that pick very much, by the way. And St. Mary's and the Zags, to your point, we had Tate Frazier on. I know he's going to be on
right
against all odds next week for his annual preview with you and the fellas. We jumped in front of the line there and just got some conference tournament picks from him, and he projected ahead the teams that could reasonably, even if it's a 1% chance, win the whole thing. He said both Gonzaga and St. Mary's, which surprised me. He gives them a 1% chance, St. Mary's. I can never think of the kid's name, the best kid on St. Mary's, but he's nice and he's a fun watch there. So check that game out one way or the other. But I do like your Zags pick. I'm going to go with, you know, no big surprise. I'm going to go with hockey and no big surprise. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Penguins here.
Oh, come on. Well, enough of this already.
Listen, every game matters right now. Now more than ever, Sal. As spaghetti and meatballs can tell you, I'm going to go with this. This feels like maybe a little bit of a trap game, but the Penguins aren't in a position to overlook anybody. So
gigantic favorite today, right?
Columbus Blue Jackets are a bum team, but they've kind of taken a run at some decent teams of late. However, I'm going to go with the Pens back on home ice. Money line under 6.5 based on the way Coach Sullivan wants the Penguins to get going here as the playoffs approach. And I'm going to sprinkle in Ricard Raquel for a goal. It all adds up to a juicy plus 590 three-way parlay on the bank of the Three Rivers.
All right. That's a good one. Spaghetti, are you rooting for the Penguins to make it or not make it? I'm trying to think what's funny. Boy, we had a lot of fun when they went up against the Rangers. Every single day was drama.
I had zero fun with that. Zero fun.
Maybe I just had fun. Maybe you guys didn't. But which way are we rooting? I mean,
I hope they're in there, and I hope the Rags get them in the first round so that they can sweep a series and have a nice rest before round two. Right, Spaghetti?
I don't think there's a path for the Rangers to play the Penguins, but I just want to be right about my take in the offseason. Also, Sal, for your bet to come true, because I know you struggled with some of your bets, so I want you to win that one. But I said along, this is not me being anti-Penguin. This is me just being a sports fan and just seeing what their roster has. It does not make sense for them to make the push for the playoffs. This is a team in the offseason. I said they should not have kept Malkin. They should not have kept Letang. They should have rebuilt, and they didn't, and I hope they miss the playoffs, and they're going to, they'll suffer the consequences.
Interesting. So if they don't, I do too, because I'm sitting on a 3-1 bet that they don't make the playoffs. I'm not seeing playoff odds for hockey. You see this for basketball, but check. Why are you laughing? I mean, that's a legitimate take, I think.
I will say, I know no one cares about the puck, but I will say, it is a misread if you say that the mistake was re-signing Malkin and Letang. They got them under market value. The mistake was the inability, the complete failure to flesh out the supporting pieces, the third line and beyond. That's where GM Ron Hextall screwed these Penguins up. It's not by bringing back the mainstay guys.
But Chet, you love all your team. They can't do any wrong in your eyes. The Penguins, Pirates. The Pirates lose a doubleheader. You're going to take them out for ice cream. You're just like, oh, it's delightful what goes on. But if I were to tell you before the season that March 7th, the Pens and the Kraken have the same odds to win the Stanley Cup, you would not be happy.
No,
it's not like
I'd
the Kraken are having a great year.
Okay. That's absolutely right. All I can do is unbuckle my belt. All I can do is unbuckle my belt, unzip my fly and lower my pants and let you see the honest truth. That's all I can give you, Sal. Can't ask for more than that. I'm standing here nude. For that. I am standing nude before you. I honestly can tell you my expectation of a Stanley Cup for the Penguins. I feel like that would be asking too much. The sports gods
know.
Too much.
I
want them to make the playoffs. Yes. And you know what? I don't care if it's saccharine or whatever. This streak, the Penguins have made the playoffs 17 straight years. I know it's not the Stanley Cup, but I also don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I think if they get it, if that thing goes on, when you get 5 years, 20 years away from it, you'll say, man, that was unbelievable that the Penguins never missed the playoffs.
I hate this. And they won three friends cups. Like you, you and cups. Simmons, it's all gravy now for the rest of your lives. I'm struggling. Martin's struggling. Spaghetti's struggling. We want to see one championship for one freaking team we root for. It's very, very, very sad. Keep your clothes on, check, because Martin's going to give his pick here.
Yeah, well, keep your clothes on, because the way I've been betting, it'll take the shirt right off of your back. So good
you
luck.
You got a
with
video today, right?
Yeah, and I'm going. What is it? Rock meet hard place. If this doesn't hit, then this I'm literally going to fade myself entirely. I'm taking the Knicks in the first half against the spread. It's like 5.5, 6 right now. They're 44-20 against spread in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Then at home, 24-8-2 against spread. In the last 10, they're 7-3. So I don't even know if I can mush this play. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes, you
can.
The
Knicks in the first half against the spread. That's my wife's advice.
Don't sell yourself short there. You can mush it. You could do this, Martin. You can. By the way, we're bringing back Race to 10 tonight. Me and the Degenerate Trifecta. We're going to do it on Twitter. We have 76ers, T-Wolves. We're going Minnesota -115 to score 10 points first. The reasoning is Philly's off a back-to-back. Embiid had 42 yesterday, hoping he doesn't play. A lot of times he doesn't play these back-to-backs. But either way, maybe they're tired. Maybe they're slow out of the gate. Minnesota -115 to join us today. I think that's 7:30 Eastern time. As we wait for Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, he is. He's here. Okay. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be back. He's hosting the Oscars. The thing about Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows, Caesars Palace. I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back. You know, next to Hugh Jackman, I've seen this next man naked more than any other Oscar host. He's doing it again this Sunday, presiding over the 95th Academy Awards. My cousin and yours, Jimbo Kimmel, Jimmy, what's happening?
What's happening, guys? I do want to point out I have a cold. I'm wearing a Breathe Right strip on my nose like an athlete. What happened to those, by the way? That ended, right? Everyone's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're talking about you should wear that on the Oscars. You were talking about the Breathe Right people, how much they would pay you. But if you could also write on it, like Roselle right. sucks. What did Jim McMahon put on his headband there?
I'd write
Roselle sucks.
I'd write he hate me on it, you know? Bring that back.
That's perfect.
I was also thinking great. The Breathe Right people need to get together with the Biore people. Do you remember those Biore strips? You put it on your nose and then all the little white snakes would come out for me to pull all the, you know, the pimples. You ever hear
whiteheads? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh man, you could get all this done. Would you think? What would they? You know, of course you have to wear a tuxedo, and you may even have to change during the event. But how much influence do they have on you with your like attire? Could you wear like overalls and those big red stupid boots that everybody's walking around with now?
I suppose I could wear whatever I wanted. I don't think they even pay for the clothes. So
right.
I think I'm I could. I'm totally on my own. I could probably cover myself in advertising like a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
Did they tell you, are you allowed to...
Dave, please use your real voice with me, not the cartoon.
Did they tell you like, hey, listen, it wouldn't be cool if you indicate that you like one movie? Did they like sort of get in your ear? Like, what if you really that one, huh? I'm surprised by that. That's not what I thought was going to happen or what I wish would have happened.
I'll tell you right now, I have about 15 pages of jokes. No one at the Academy has seen a single one of them.
Really?
Or asked for it.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised by that.
They're asking for it. Yeah.
It is a little weird, right? But I think part of the deal is when you have a rotating host, it's like, it's not like an employment situation. It's kind of like, right, we picked you to do it. And so you'll do it how you want to do it. And we won't pay you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Reading in the Hollywood Reporter and it said that you were the safe choice. Like, you know, in rotating hoists, rotating hosts in that matter. It said you were the safe choice. I was wondering how you feel about that.
I think it's weird to be the safe choice suddenly, because I definitely wasn't seen as the safe choice the first time I hosted the show or the first time I hosted the Emmys. I was seen as the dangerous choice. But I think they mean safe. I think they mean safe. In that they know I'll be able to do it. That, you know, listen, I think now everybody's prepared for a fiasco of some kind, and I'm very fiasco friendly.
Let me just say very quickly.
It would be funny, though, really, if the safe host gave everyone COVID, that would be great. That would be but go ahead, check.
Because I have to hail Kimmel for the two things I think are best about Jimmy. One, every Thanksgiving, he has a big feast for the staff. He prepares the meal himself. But his ingenious angle on it is, why turkey and mashed potatoes when you're going to eat that with your family on Thanksgiving? Instead, you go surf and turf. I think it's a lovely thing you
thank
do.
Thank you, Dave.
But also very thoughtful. Two, the safe pick, the thing I always say is, there is no human being I can imagine who would have been better off standing out there with Warren Beatty when they screwed up the best picture thing than you. Everybody's like, oh my God, what would you do? And I said, there's no one happier in that spot than Jimmy is right now.
Yeah, I was delighted.
He's in heaven with that spot. I knew you were.
I was floating on air. I didn't know what was going on, but I just knew that I was enjoying whatever that feeling of being live on the air when all hell is breaking loose and there's a lot of confusion. And I told the story before, obviously, but I didn't know if Warren had... I think I yelled at Warren, what did you do, Warren?
The best line.
Yelling at Warren Beatty. But it turned out to not be Warren's fault. And Warren turned out to be the smartest guy in the room. But
yeah,
it's funny. I really haven't looked back and watched that ever. And I'm not sure. I don't know. I never like to watch myself, but I will say that that was one of the highlights. That, and there was another time, I don't know if you guys remember this. I think you were both backstage, Sal and Dave, when this happened. I was hosting the American Music Awards, and Carolla was one of the writers. He was helping me with it. We all had to wear suits, right? So Missy Elliott, I believe, was very late. She missed her whole, she was supposed to present. She was late. And Dick Clark comes running backstage, and he grabs Adam, and he goes, Missy Elliott is late. You got to run out. You got to get out there and fill. And Adam goes, yeah, I mean, yeah, I can do that. But don't you think since Jimmy's the host, maybe he should? And Dick Clark, without missing a beat, wheels around, grabs me and goes, Missy Elliott is late. You got to get out there and fill. And then I went out and I had, I don't know how much time I had to just stand there where there was nothing prepared. And I just kind of started talking. And I do remember, I don't have any idea what I said, but I remember enjoying it very, very much.
Well, listen, this gets me to something I'm very interested in because, you know, you focus on the monologue and comedy bits. I know you drive yourself nuts, both pre-taped and live. And but I worry you're not prepared. You can handle it. But I wonder if we floated some ideas, scenarios by you for the unexpected, like you said, like the Moonlight, La La Land controversy, the slap, nutty things happen at what's supposed to be this glamorous event. So, okay. So here's one. There's a blackout.
Okay.
This happened in the Super Bowl. Everyone freaked out. They didn't know what to do.
Once, remember?
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly. What do you do? Now I gave you a flashlight, for Christmas, like a three month like Christmas gift. I don't.
Yeah,
you could potentially use that.
I loaded it today. It did not light.
Oh, for God's sake! But it's also a bat and a knife. So, okay.
It does work.
I don't know if that's going to help you, but what do you do in a blackout situation?
Blackout situation: chop up the set, make a campfire. Next.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Next, there's a wardrobe malfunction.
Uh-huh.
Guillermo del Toro's, he's presenting and his junk is exposed and everybody sees it, but no one's saying a word about it.
Okay. Grab some masking tape, make a little hat, put a little hat on his penis. Next.
Okay, next. a protester comes on stage and gorilla glues themselves to Jamie Lee Curtis's dress.
Urinate on them. Everyone, it's urinate on them as they walk by, unless the cause is worthy. But yeah, I don't go for that gorilla glue thing. I don't know. I don't think that would be welcomed at our Oscar show.
Right.
But I do think you could just throw a blanket over them and that would be pretty funny.
All right. You have a spare blanket backstage. That's good. Okay. Your mother, famous for her cookies. By the way, she fed the Emmy audience a few years ago, the Emmy nominees, rather, right?
Right.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She loves making cookies. She, during the telecast, feeds Brendan Fraser cookies so much that he starts gaining weight uncontrollably. And it's noticeable. And what do you do at that point?
Well, I mean, that's basically what she did to me for my whole life. I mean, that one I have a lot of experience with. I think, do you remember, this is a great story. My mother, she was boasting about how, you know, her healthy foods and, you know, none of her foods are healthy at all, but she's boasting about how these healthy meals that she gives my niece and nephew. And I was like, oh, well, what do you make them for breakfast? And she says, oh, I make them a protein shake. And I was like, oh, what's in that shake? She goes, well, I get, there's milk and then I get fresh organic ice cream and chocolate syrup. I was like, that's not a protein shake. That's an ice cream shake. She's like, yeah, but it's all healthy. It's all natural. I was like, no, it's not. It's all cream and sugar and it's not healthy and you're insane.
And so she stopped making it. She's not bringing it a new food,
though. She did make hundreds of cookies for our 20th anniversary.
Yeah, she did.
Show. She made sure to make them on our 19th anniversary. So they were good and crumbly by the night of the show.
Stop it.
You remember on the air, I accidentally dropped one and smashed into a million pizzas. When's the last time you saw a cookie shatter?
That was it. That was the last time. The first and last, I think. You're right. All right, one more. What if a presenter comes out and pulls a Dave Damaschek and actually lost the Oscar? They literally lost the trophy and don't have anything to present to the winner. He did that famously with our fantasy league and has not replaced it. But anyway,
we would do an X-ray to make sure the trophy wasn't inside them.
Okay, good.
And then I guess we'd take a trophy from one of the lesser categories, like you know, best animated short or something. Hey, listen, you're lucky to be here. Go home.
Okay, that's fair. That really is fair. Shaq, you had a question for Jimmy about the slap.
Well, yeah, the slap last year that I'm sure you've heard about. Would it be good ultimately if somebody came up and slapped you? Not as a bit, but was in the moment and angry, just like Will Smith was a year ago, came up and said, you'd be happy about that, I suspect.
Can I tell you something? I don't think I would be happy about it, but I was thinking about this. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. I feel like if Will Smith had come up on stage and slapped me, almost everyone would be on his side.
This is what I said this. Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Right?
Yes. And they'd be right.
You said that in a text. That's probably how it got into my brain. But I watched the Chris Rock special and I started thinking like, yeah, I don't think I'd have this kind of groundswell of support. I think most people would be like, yeah, he had it coming. I mean, you know, he's kind of a dick.
But if you were to get slapped by anyone you know is going to be there, who would you want it to be?
Dal, you know how my reflexes, and listen, I'm not a particularly athletic individual, but I have the reflexes of a jungle cat. I mean, you know, right. You remember, I mean, I've demonstrated this on air a number of times. A frozen turkey was just so poorly advisedly thrown right at my head by my 6'5" son while I was on stage in the middle of the monologue. And I dodged that thing like a dozen ninjas in a cage.
Weren't even looking at it. It's I wasn't even looking at it. Yeah, just
unfazed. I impressed myself with like when I open the freezer and an ice cube comes popping out or something, but it's incredible. And I just wish all of those moments were on tape. So, I don't really see myself getting hit. I don't think I would have leaned into it in the same way that Chris Rock did. But if I did get hit, I would probably want to get hit by the oldest person there. So like James Hong or Judd Hirsch.
Okay.
Or Judd perhaps, Hirsch is a good one. somebody either the youngest or oldest person there. Maybe a child
actor. Yeah. I don't think Dame Judi Dench is there, but if she had the glove and smacked you, I think you could walk it off pretty easily.
Are you suggesting, though, were you in Chris Rock's shoes that night, you would have like caught the slap in your hand like an action hero and folded it back on him?
No, but I would have backed up.
I see. Like Ali.
He had his hands behind him, I think. I don't think he was. I wouldn't have had
my hands behind me. You know how paranoid I am on stage. Right. I'm like, because Sal's there really is the reason why I'm paranoid on stage. If I hear like footsteps or whatever, we have to tell the stage manager, like, if you're going to have unusual things happening where people are moving, you got to let me know because I'm jumpy, you know, and it's mostly because Sal's there. And you may notice, like, every time we do like a belly flop competition or whatever, I'm fully guarding my testicles because I know that there's a really good chance Sal's going to hit me there or do something to me on the way.
This is a like bit where I have to bring everybody from in front of the studio on Hollywood Boulevard to the back of the studio where the pool is. And I lead a parade of belly floppers. And there's a lot of distractions here. And the crowd is like cheering and everything. And I figure I can get one nut shot in. I think I'm 0 for my last 9 years with that. I don't think I've gotten even close.
I'm on the highest possible alert when you are in the building. Not just on stage, really, even when I'm sitting in the bathroom.
I never really thought about it that way, but that's the glass half full view of Sal, isn't it? He's our Deion Sanders. Like, guys who are on Deion's team, the wide receivers, they're like, hey, going against Deion in practice all week prepared me. Nothing that I faced on Sundays was as tough as Deion. Sal has prepared. You can't intimidate us now. We've been around Sal too much.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will tell you another thing. I don't know why this popped into my head, but when Sal and I lived together, when he first moved out here from New York, when I convinced him to basically throw his law degree in the garbage and come help me write comedy bits for the radio, Sal lived in my like kind of office, or, you know, I wouldn't even call it a guest room because it's where I had my desk and all my stuff at my house. And I was sitting at my computer working, and Sal was in the shower masturbating. And you learn not to knock because the showers were endless. But if you knocked, you'd throw them off, and it would just add another 11 minutes to the shower. So I'm sitting there, and Sal like comes in the room, and he's in a towel. You know, he's got it around his waist, and I just feel something against my back, and I don't know. It's an unusual. It's something I've never felt before, but I feel something pressing against my back. And Sal, in his towel around his waist, is pressing his erection against the small of my back while I am working.
What is Shaq? What's wrong with this?
Couldn't stop laughing. I mean, to the point where he almost lost consciousness.
Will you do me a favor? If Missy Elliott doesn't show up to present this year and you have to stretch and fill, will you tell that story on stage?
Let's reenact it. Never mind tell the story.
You know, I've been victimized by Sal's wiener as well. When we ordered pizza when we were watching the national championship game in your office, yeah. Jimmy, Sal didn't
man show. Yeah,
no, somebody Sal didn't eat his crusts. He was he was doing one of his Oprah.
That's
diets.
Sal's version of a diet, not eating right. Crusts. Yes. From
didn't eat the crust.
Pizza.
He also was using the talc. What was it called again? I never
gold
remember.
Bond.
Gold bond. Gold he was bond, using yeah. that. That yeah. has that. Distinct smell to it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, if you're not going to eat these crusts, I am. And I took a bite of one and it tasted like Gold Bond. And I realized it had Sal's cock paw all over it because he kept his hand down his pants.
Come on.
I got cock right. paw. Hey, Jimmy, I have a quick, your
we're
master.
Trying to find out about the Oscars. Yeah.
Okay. He's master of ceremonies. Let's see where he comes down on some important movie-based questions. Goodfellas okay. or Godfather?
Oh, Godfather.
Star Wars trilogy or Indiana Jones great, trilogy?
What's that?
Star Wars trilogy or Indiana Jones trilogy? Originals, obviously.
Star Wars.
Batman or Iron Man?
Oh, well, it depends on which Batman. Which Batman you're talking
who
about?
Who wins in a fight?
Oh, who wins in a fight? Well, Iron Man would crush Batman.
You think so?
Yeah, they're of similar intelligence, but his uniform is much more powerful. Like, Batman can't even fly. He has to throw a hook and, you know, and then use a, you know, grappling hook to climb things.
I think that's right. UNLV basketball or Mets baseball? Not really a movie question. UNLV, you made a documentary about the Mets, so that counts.
You know, 80s, 90s, UNLV. Now, Mets baseball. I mean, UNLV, you know, they started like 10-0 this year, and I was really imagining NCAA glory, and they've remedied that.
By the way, 91 UNLV. Shaq,
you're very proud of this observation. I think it's simple. Like, I get where you're coming from. Most sports, if you take the teams from the 90s versus the teams today, the team from 30 years ago would get crushed, but not right. college basketball. And you cite this UNLV team. But a great team, but also they stuck around. They especially that team, all seniors.
It's still interesting. If you put two NFL, if you put the 90, the 49ers of 1989 against the worst team in the NFL.
Don't have nobody's a sophomore in college that's good playing anymore. They go right to the NBA.
You know, they almost got Sean Kemp on that team. Sean Kemp almost signed really? UNLV during those years.
Wow.
Let me continue my quiz quickly. Moonlight or La La Land?
Stop it already.
Moonlight or La La Land? La La Land. I like that one better.
Chris Rock or Will Smith?
Oh, well, I mean, Chris Rock, yeah.
Apples or oranges?
I have to go with apples. I know that's going to make
you
happy.
He's very busy, Shaq. He's got 15 pages. He's got
Howard Stern or David Letterman?
I will refuse to answer.
He won't do that.
That's the question Howard asks me every single time. We have David Letterman on next Wednesday. Ooh. On a couple days after the Oscars. He's on. He's coming to the show. He's never been to the show in LA before.
Wow.
So. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know who also, also coming to LA tonight, Baby Doll, right?
He got here yesterday.
Was he here yesterday?
He pops up like a smoky ghost. He popped up in the gym this morning. By the way, Baby Doll, you know, if you ever like, you ever think, hang on one second, I got to blow my nose. It's going to be disgusting. So I'm going to mute myself. Okay. You guys talk amongst yourself for a second.
Okay, so when I'm pressing my erection against his back, you know, who thought how he's going to react? I don't know if he's going to turn around or smack at it or what he's going to do.
I'm back.
Okay, you're back? Okay.
Baby Doll, you know, sometimes a lot of people's agents or managers or whatever the f*** he is.
Managers, we don't want to start another strike here, Jimmy. He's a manager. Right. Yeah, okay.
A lot of them will bullshit their clients, you know, and they'll, oh, you were great. You know, you were this, you were that, whatever. And I never really, I mean, I know Baby Doll does a certain amount of that, but I never put him in that category until this morning when he came into the gym and told me I was ripped. There are many words you could use to describe me. Ripped is not, is definitely not one of them.
Maybe it means something different to him.
And I then mean, he started talking drunk. About how strong yeah. I am, which I don't know how he would know that. and my trainer, it was very funny because I turned to look at my my trainer who came to the house, and he's like, yeah, you know, yeah, he's getting stronger.
So he tipped the trainer. That's
maybe
great.
Was very full of this morning to maybe more well, than he's ever been.
I love it. And I look forward to him. He famously sleeps at the rehearsals, not just during your monologue during a regular Jimmy Kimmel Live episode, but I have a picture of him and his daughter sleeping in a huge disaster area around them with popcorn and chips and stuff on the floor.
Yeah.
So I look forward to that.
He woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, so he's definitely going to be sleeping.
Good. He's always on the East Coast time. Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, not having anything to do with the Oscars, Chris DeStefano is going to be on next week. Is hosting tonight at on Vice TV, 10 p.m. Eastern, Super Maximum Retro Show. You are producing this. It's based on a Twitter account. I think all of our favorite Twitter accounts.
It's the best Twitter account, Super 70 really Sports. Is. Yeah.
Run but by Ricky Cobb. Yes.
It's not Chris, necessarily a sports show, although that is a part of it. You know, there's wrestling from the 80s and old baseball players and that kind of thing, but it's about everything from the idea of the show is educating young people on all the crazy things that went unchecked during the 80s. And so there are, you know, these crazy commercials and music videos and, you know, what you name it, celebrities and the shit they were up to. And Chris is super funny, as I'm sure you know.
So, really funny. Really Shaq, good you're going to lose your mind over the show. It's a lot of fun.
It's a fun show. It's I have to say, it came out as good as I hoped it would.
Excellent. Very exciting. 95th Academy Awards this Sunday. Thank you for inviting me. I will be in the audience. And, you know, listen, I'm going to ask around people sitting beside me and what they think, which jokes are working, which aren't. I could text you during the show and hopefully I can be helpful in that
respect.
All
I ask is that at some point in the broadcast, you stand up and press your erection into the small of the back of a nominated actor. That's
okay.
All.
Is that Dick Clark or Sal's wiener? We don't know who's tapping us from behind.
Yeah, this is really the card.
All right. Yeah. And do me a favor, Jimmy, pull a Joe Namath and guarantee the highest rated Oscars of all time. Ooh. Do that right now.
I'm not. I might guarantee the lowest, but I'm not going to guarantee the highest.
Stop it, baby. Stop it. You're ripped. All right, Jimmy Kimmel again this Sunday, the Academy Awards. Good luck to you, Jimmy.
I'm fudge rippled is what I am. Thank you, guys. It's wonderful as always. And now I'm going to continue sitting here on my desk.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Bye.
Good times.
Maybe Chris Rock could slap Jimmy. Then it would be paying it forward in perpetuity. Could Jimmy beat up every late night host? Rip Jimmy Kimmel. Could he beat up Colbert?
See? You won't let him go. Now he can't press.
Johnny Carson,
room.
He would make quick work of, even in Carson's prime.
I think
would
Johnny Carson had like a black belt or something, and said, didn't he?
Really?
Or was that just in a skit that I'm remembering? Jimmy, you're still here. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah,
Arsenio. Okay.
That would be enough.
Not magic, though. It stops with
magic. You're right.
No.
Deezus and Mero might give you a run for your money.
Oh, yeah. I get beat up by Deezus and Mero and Kelly Clarkson. I mean, you
think. There you go. And Joy Behar. Yeah, it's a tough list. All right, Jimmy. We're going to let you go. All right.
Now I'm actually going to continue sitting here at my desk.
Okay.
Should I press leave or are we going to have one of those post?
No, you could leave now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm pressing thanks, leave now. And then I'm going to press leave again. Goodbye.
Okay. Here we go. He's left.
He did it.
Boy, that's such an embarrassing story with the, right? You could see how someone would be embarrassed, Martin, after that erection.
They say hosting the Oscars is one of the most thankless jobs in Hollywood. And I didn't really necessarily believe it until about 365 days ago. But, I'm curious, which is more thankless, being friends with you two jerks or hosting the Oscars? Because it seems like it'd be absurd.
What? Which, being friends with us?
Both, honestly. But yeah, I mean, based off the way that you guys all acted as young up and comers through Hollywood, it's like swingers, but real life. And one of them, Jimmy Kimmel instead of Vince Vaughn.
You would have loved it, Martin. Those man show days with the, they would tailgate in the parking lot. Forget it. It's spectacular times. Listen, let's take another quick break. Then we'll talk NBA, NCAA, and then we'll get the hell out of here.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, quick NBA note. Obviously, we'll be talking a lot of NBA in following weeks. LeBron said in a tweet that his son, Bronny James, is better than some of the NBA talent he was watching on television. Martin, what does this mean? Why is he doing this? I mean, it can't be true.
It means that LeBron was off the vino last night. That's what it means. That's okay. What it means. LeBron is checked out for the season at this point. That walking boot is not coming off. That's what he was twisting. He was spinning a little wine in his cup, drinking it, and tasting the notes. Because that's what that. Because look, as the only person on this podcast, I feel like who can say they've both seen LeBron James Senior and Junior play. Mm-hmm. This is not true. The wild thing is, it was incredibly true of LeBron James Sr. when he was a senior in high school, but just not true right. of LeBron.
Yeah, what NBA talent is he watching? I'd love for him to name names at this point, Shaq.
I mean, the Magic were playing last night, but it's not that bad.
I don't know about Bronny James. I do think it's weird that LeBron, it's bizarre that some figures are held to one standard and others are held to just a wildly different. LeBron, what's he ever done wrong? The announcement was poorly handled when he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Okay, the China remarks. What'd you say?
It was the decision. The decision. Not the announcement.
What I called it. Whatever. What I said. I don't even remember what I said. But anyway, announcement. Yeah. The announcement, whatever. And that and his problematic China remarks, whatever. But for the most part, this guy's been in our lives for 20 some years, has never run anything close to being like, oh my God, what the hell kind of behavior is that? And yet I feel like his popularity is about like what, 50%? Like it feels like half of basketball fans don't like LeBron. I don't get it. He's a delight. He's a nice dad. This is a nice thing. Of course, that's a nice thing to say about your son. That's the end of that story. That's what I said. Right.
Which is not true. LeVar Ball went and said that his sons were better than Steph Curry. That also wasn't true. But yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't care if he's lying about his kids. My dad lies about me all the time.
Yeah, I'm not that way. I'm not delusional. I think Harrison's now, I think he was a top third baseball player in his league, and I think he slipped. I don't know what it is. We got him this new bat. He's taking pitches he should swing at, and now he's like mid-range bottom third, and I'll tell him as much. I'll have a press conference too. We will. So that's that.
That seems unnecessary, but okay.
Of course. Well, you're talking to a guy who put his erection against his cousin's back to thank him for opening up his office to him 3,000 miles away. Shaq, the conference tourneys are set up. Florida State, Georgia Tech, the winner plays Pitt. I heard you talking with Tate about this, and now you've come around on the idea that Pitt might need to beat the winner of this game.
You say I can't disparage my teams. I find that just whole pap.
No, but you'll still be proud of them, no matter what. You'll still be proud of these 27-year-olds that are playing for Pitt. That's a difference.
It was a very fun season. That much is for sure. But by the measure that I have already laid out, yes, if you're playing well for 2 months or whatever in the run-up to the tournament, then you should get in. They lose three straight, including bad loss last week to a bum Notre Dame team. And then if they lose to one of the bum Georgia Tech or Florida State teams, then I think you could make a case that they're not. But our guy, Lenardi, you know, who I've disparaged in the past, now says that they're in. He says they're in. They're not on the bubble. Said that. So that's fine. Right.
Not even for the first four buys they made.
Full of it then or now?
You got to come.
My standard is that they need to beat a bum team to, you know, show that you haven't completely gone off the rails here, Pitt. Beat some cruddy ACC bottom feeder team and, you know, and then don't get blown out by Duke. And I think they're safely into
that. All right, let me see. I have them in blue. I don't know if you could see. I have Oregon. Oregon's out there in red. Utah State is at, I don't know if you could do it. What a waste of time. I'm 51 years old and I'm putting in hours and hours. I could be spending, lambasting my son for being an average little league player. And instead I'm putting these together. It's really dumb.
Maybe
really,
Sol Jolliman is onto something. Maybe we're two sports obsessed.
Is that
who's
true?
Trying harder, Sol? Yeah. You filling out your college basketball prep or Harrison in baseball?
It's very close. It's very close. And it'd be one thing if it led to anything. Not that he's going to be a major league baseball player, but it's not like I could use this information and ever make money off of it because I don't. It's the opposite.
It's all over the computer and you're still it by hand on a piece of paper.
I know it's dumb. Also dumb. Speaking of not making money. Now, I don't want this to sound like sour grapes, but an odds provider we used to work with has a prop up there. And I have to call it out because it's so predatory. It really is. And I won't mention names, but Martin, you could bet on this particular app. You could parlay the final four teams. Now, what's the problem with this, Martin, as you see it? Making a parlay of the final four teams.
I mean, just think about how many people, when you fill out a bracket, get the final four teams right. Like, the chances are infinitesimal. And okay, then also,
but at least when they're filling out a bracket, they have what information that is
essential. Oh, you're saying you can bet this now?
Yes, it's crazy. Yeah,
you can bet how many final four teams. You already lost. Like,
bracket.
You know who's in the tournament. Yes, exactly. That's ridiculous.
I looked this up. So if you have Xavier and Purdue in the same parlay, and then they're in the same bracket, which makes it impossible for them to meet in the final four, you don't get your money back. You lose. Shameful, right, Check? Got to call it out. I don't get on my soapbox much, but that's pretty
so
ugly.
You have to somehow predict what region your team is going to land in. That's ridiculous.
And by the way, it's not like they added odds. It's not like they juiced up odds for you because of the uncertainty. No, the odds are kind of what they would be anyway, like for a team to make the final four. So shameful, Sheck. I don't like it one bit.
It's a I talk about there is a big C. Marty and I have debated this before. I like a fun bet, and that means you have a 1% chance of winning it. That makes it fun. If it's 0%, it ceases to be fun. This is a 0%. How would you ever be able to divide the regions? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, even if you were Joe Lenardi, you couldn't figure this out, right?
Of course
at this
not.
Point. All right. Babyface, it's still up there, right?
I know. It's still up there. Harry's going to do it.
Harry probably has 11 parlays in. I know. Yeah. Disgusting. hey, I did want to hit Eddie Spaghetti and Mikey Meatballs. We talked about this Connor McDavid thing and how he's heads and shoulders above whoever's second. We got good discussion out of this last week. Who in their given sport is most heads and shoulders above whoever's in second? Boy, did I botch that. You know what I'm saying anyway. Connor McDavid, much better than the second best hockey player. And you look at that across sports and it's compelling. I said Shohei Ohtani. I figured out Spaghetti and I are arguing. And then I'm like, well, this isn't even a discussion because he admits, he's like, the pitching thing lost its luster with me. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, we can't even have a discussion at this point about Ohtani. But Meatballs, I'm wondering if we forgot somebody and it came to light again this weekend. John Jones, my God, he goes in there and destroys Ciryl Gane. You want to change your mind? I mean, he's as dominant as you could be in a sport from when he's not taking sobriety tests on the side of the road for about a decade now, right, Meatballs?
If you're including UFC, he's probably, I mean, I still think McDavid is probably number one, but he.
Well, not now, though. What? Not. But right now, we mean, right? Oh, McDavid, I'm sorry. I thought you said McGregor. For some reason, I'm confusing Connor McDavid and Connor McGregor. I gotcha. All right, so you have McDavid one, And you have John Jones too, but he's in the equation, Spaghetti. I know you're. Did you see that fight?
I was invited over to Meatball. This is the happiest I've ever seen Mikey Meatballs in his life. It's him watching John Bone Jones win a fight. He won a crap ton of money. So good for you, Meatballs.
But he called it.
He's slowly trying to get me into the UFC. I mean, I did put it in the rundown for a -3. I know me and Dave aren't the biggest UFC guys, but the taking 3 years off, like I don't even know what John Jones did for those 3 years. Like sat in his couch, yeah. Like ate, and then this guy, Ciryl Gane, built like an NFL lineman. He is a monster. And in less than like the first round had time, like it was, they took longer to take the tape off his toes than like the right. fight, the fight lasted. It was absurd just watching that live. I would say, yeah, I mean, his only loss was due to disqualification. I would say that John Jones definitely is in the conversation at his best, but like the stat I just put in our chat here, I mean, McDavid's on pace for 157 points this year. It's the most ever by a person not named Gretzky or Lemieux. It'd be the 14th highest point total of all time. We're just in an era where we're not seeing that. And I know what you're saying about Ohtani, but Ohtani would
you don't like the pitching.
He would have to be the best statistical pitcher and batter for him to be better than McDavid. That's
but then I say McDavid would have to be a decent goalie, by
right. I don't think that's. I don't think you're completely.
He's neither the best hitter or. He's neither the best hitter or pitcher. So like him just doing both to me doesn't equal McDavid is the best offensive player. Ohtani has to be one of those. I think actually, but besides John Jones in team sports, Mahomes would have my number two spot based on roster is.
Here, maybe I put it like this. Jamie Foxx is the greatest entertainer we know right now because he sings and he's funny and he's a great actor, but he's not the best actor. Morgan Freeman's a better actor, right? Check. Am I on the right? Am I looking at this the right way?
You are, but the reason that McDavid, because, Hench was jumping in. We had a group text over the weekend going back and forth. Got chippy about it's the best kind of a subject because people still get upset even though no one can be proven correct or wrong.
Right.
People still get angry on the text chain. But anyhow, McDavid, you could put him onto any team in the, you could put him on the Columbus Blue Jackets and he would be the best player in the league. I don't think you could do that with Mahomes. Mahomes wouldn't make Patrick Mahomes would not, if you dropped him onto the worst roster, would not turn that team around into being a Super Bowl contender. He wouldn't. You think if you would have, who was the worst team in the NFL last year?
Yes, I do. I don't think you could say that after this year.
Yes,
if Patrick Mahomes, the number one overall pick right now, and Houston, Texas took him, or Chicago Bears took him, they would be at least in the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Sky Moore.
I don't know about that.
Valdez, Scantling. Like, these are not giant. If you would have said that before, right after Tyreek Hill left, like, okay, let's see. I kind of think that proved what Martin said.
Okay, so let's take my team. If you put Patrick Mahomes on the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2020,
welcome to the AFC Championship.
They go like 12-5, 13-4, and are the team to beat? I don't see it that way.
Well, why does everyone want Aaron Rodgers, a lesser version of Patrick Mahomes? Why is Martin Weiss crying?
I think it makes you better. I don't think it is worth 4 or 5 NFL victories in any given season.
That's really? 4 or 5. Okay, how many games would the Chiefs win if Mahomes got hurt?
Yeah, go do it the other way.
Just off face.
I know that it makes sense that you would be able to make that adjust, but it wouldn't work that way. Patrick Mahomes, to some degree, depends on Andy Reid, just like the reverse is true. I think these football situations are dependent, and it's not a knock on Mahomes because Montana had Walsh and Bradshaw had Knoll and Staubach had you get the list I'm going through.
You see,
here.
Dave, I accounted for that when I said at least the second round of the playoffs because with Andy Reid, he either is winning the Super Bowl or losing in the AFC Championship game in overtime.
Fields was good last year. If you put Patrick Mahomes on the Bears, that team now is like a 10-7 team and a playoff team, even in the bum NFC.
NFC, where the Seattle Seahawks made the playoffs, where the 49ers started 3 different quarterbacks through the regular season, and where the 2 seed
Not behind that offensive line and the lack of weapons around him. I don't think you're going to be able to turn me around on this one. I don't think you just magically sprinkled 15 in there.
When they lost to the Bucs in the Super Bowl, he had the most suspect offensive line, and it bit him in the actual Super Bowl game. But Spaghetti's about to put this argument to rest. Go ahead, Spaghetti. What are you going to ask?
Well, just saying, what happens if Mahomes played for the Chargers?
Oh,
that's Shaq's kryptonite. Shaq's favorite team. That's the reason why you hate Mahomes, right? Because you're a deep down closet.
It is part of it.
No, I think that's a great. I think that's a great comparison. If Mahomes were on these Chargers last year, I think that would have been worth a game or two games, maybe for them in the standings. No, but I if you traded, I mean, then you're talking it's circumstantial. Then the Chiefs get Herbert, because then I think it would be fairly close. Maybe the Chargers would get him by a game.
I mean,
they've
won the division every year. It's hard to argue otherwise. It's a tough division. He's won it, like with or without Tyreek Hill. I don't know. All right, listen, we gotta go.
My mind is boggled.
I'm not knocking after Mahomes.
I feel like I was a half dozen carton of eggs, and it's like, this is your brain on Dave, and all the eggs are just in the frying pan sizzling right now. Like,
you
what
broke the egg shack. Good job. Good job by you.
I mean, Ohtani could be on the worst team and you would still call him the best player in baseball, though, right?
Well, it's more of an individual at this point. Yes, that to me, I'm looking at it from an individual perspective with that. All right, listen, the big thing is Babyface. What? Go ahead. Do you have an idea with this?
No, I just your penis story with your cousin was the craziest thing on this pod until the last 5 minutes. When Dave is bringing up this Mahomes slander, I just want to point that out.
Shaq, bring this up in the beginning, not the end. I mean, because now we can't. How are we going to leave? You know, it's like the big wins at the end of the season.
Well, listen,
count more.
MVP votes, as we've made clear, we don't necessarily buy that they're announcing who the best player is. But for the record, Aaron Rodgers won two in a row. It's not like Patrick Mahomes, by our collective eyeballs, stood out as the best quarterback in the NFL the last 5 years. He's in the conversation. He probably is the best, but two straight years we said it was old man Aaron Rodgers.
I know. We were wrong. We're wrong about a lot of things. We trusted the science, the NFL science.
Until the playoffs got here, Sal, and then Aaron Rodgers wasn't, and Mahomes was. Oh, Martin, please. What is happening, Martin? Get control of him.
This is just...
You guys are cuckoo.
This is in an NFL area. I'm at a loss for words. Like, what are you talking about?
I didn't say he's not the best. He's the best, but the idea that he's vastly superior to the second best quarterback, I think is an overreach.
But he's worth four games.
Against who? Like, who?
He would take the Bears to seven wins. Four games is seven, right? On three?
If you
put Patrick, 7-10. Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's worth at least four games. But if you put Patrick Mahomes on any team in the NFC South, they are now second or third favorites to go to the Super Bowl.
No. Let's stay with what we already saw. God. Patrick Mahomes on the Houston Texans, you contend, would have been a playoff team with him. The Chicago Bears would have been a playoff team with Patrick Mahomes under center or in the shotgun. I don't think that's true. Hold on.
Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have done better with the Bears than Geno Smith did with the Seahawks. Like, why? You're talking a playoff team? Of course they would have made it.
I think it's more dependent. But by the way, Ohtani, what's the most interesting thing to me about the entire conversation, because it was leaning more into Ohtani v. McDavid when it started, that they're the two best players in their respective sports and both struggle to ever get into the playoffs. It's really weird that you can have the best player and still not do that. Now, Mahomes might be the best player in the league. I do not accept. I reject the notion that he would have made the Chicago Bears playoff relevant in 2022.
Spaghetti, admit, Connor McDavid sucks on the Bears. There's no way around.
They would lose the NFC North for sure. With McDavid a quarterback, Sal, they'd be terrible.
He got no points. No points at all. By the way, Meatballs, the fact that Spaghetti isn't a big UFC fan is talk about mind-boggling.
That is weird.
Keep working on that, Meatballs. You got to get him in there. He'll be loving this in a month. Now, all right, I got to go. I have a big-time comedian waiting on the return of Laugh Lines today. Me and Megan Connolly and Mario Bosco. We're going hot out of the gate. Mario Bosco is the guest. We're talking about all things Oscars in New York and playing cameo over under. You got -3 with Sheck. He had Tate Frazier on. He had Bald Brian on. Thursday's episode, he's going to have Kevin Hench on. Good times there.
That's it. Yep. You said it all. Getting you right for all things March. That's what we're doing.
Yes. And Corolla promoted Mr. Lister. I know.
That was, it's an inside joke, but it was fun. You're like, no, Mr. Lister.
But anyway, he fixed it. Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin, you and Gunnels. I like
I'm gonna
it.
Be, I'm going to be mad about
Gunnels go after each other. I know.
You know what? I'm going to bring this up, actually. I know Lemon Pepper Parlay is supposed to be basketball, but I'm mad about this now. We're going to have 10 minutes to talk about Patrick Mahomes over every other quarterback in the NFL for the first 10 minutes of Lemon Pepper Parlay. That's
Gunnels will agree with Dave, right? He'll have
yeah, I'm sure.
There you go. All
what right, was my good question sports. For him? Ask him that one, too. What was it? Trade away Patrick Mahomes in exchange for an NBA team? Is that what it was? Would Gunnels do that?
Oh, yeah.
I can't ask him back to back now because you already tainted the Patrick. You're showing your hand, Dave. I'm not being disrespectful.
He's the best player. He's going to go down as one of at worst. He's going to go down as the second best quarterback of the Super Bowl era. I'm not disparaging him. It's based on the flow of the game. He's one of 11 out there. The fewer guys out there with him, the more relevant the one star is going to be. It's the way.
Yes. Ask Gunnels. Batman or Iron Man? We have to know his answer on this. All right, listen, that's going to do it. I want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. See you Thursday.